Welcome to another episode of Erp Chirp, a podcast by Albertans, about Albertans, but for all Erpers. I'm Erica Ensign.
I'm Annette Weirstra.
And I'm Kirsten Gorick.
And this is a very special episode of Erp Chirp because we didn't exactly just watch Wynonna Earp season 3, episode 5, Jolene. We watched it a couple of days ago and we're not even in the same room on our usual couch. It feels a little weird, guys.
I know. It feels so less comfy.
Yeah.
But you get to record from the comfort of your own
home. I know.
This is,
it's sort of exciting because we're doing something new and we're learning new skills.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I miss you guys.
I miss you too.
Yeah.
And I really missed you.
I'm like staring at a fake photo of Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of okay. But yeah, I missed having you guys there when the episode aired, which of course was Friday night. And because I am in San Jose, we were not able to watch it together, and nor were we able to record right away like we usually do. So you guys, I cheated. I actually watched the episode twice.
It's probably good.
I saw that.
Because then you can remind us of all the things we've already forgotten, because we talked about taking notes. Kirsten and I watched it together on Friday at her mom's house. And Yeah, we thought about taking notes and then we didn't. Because we thought that was like not the point of our podcast. We should be lazy.
I thought about taking notes the second time through just to make sure that I would remember things. And I didn't because for the same reason. However, the second time I watched it was now like an hour and a half ago. And in between, I did the rehearsal for the Hugo Awards ceremony, which is later tonight. So that kind of threw everything out of my memory. But at least I know how to walk in my shoes and how to climb the stairs to the stage just in case I win.
Both important things.
Yes. Yes, they are.
And her shoes are called Peacemaker. Just like to remind everyone, she is at the Hugos in shoes called Peacemaker.
Peacemaker. Yep.
It's amazing.
It's pretty perfect. So, you know, basically I'm a winner no matter what because I have shoes that are, I don't know if they're named after Wynonna Earp's gun, but in my head, I'm going to pretend that that is the
case. They totally are. I feel they are.
What else could they possibly be named after? Like,
right?
Really?
For sure. For sure. So, like I said, I missed you guys so much because I was whooping and hollering and yelling at the screen. And Steven was just sitting next to me very quietly watching the show. I was like, you don't yell enough. Was there yelling? Did I miss yelling?
Yeah, you did.
There was yelling.
There was a lot of...
There was pointing.
Why are you putting that in your mouth?
Don't you put it in your mouth.
don't do it.
It's so relevant. It was so relevant.
Right.
How many times does that come up as being important this season?
Three out of five. Those are some good odds.
To stop putting things in their mouth.
But they looked, at least in this episode, it was delicious looking things that were going into mouths.
Those cupcakes were glorious. The icing colors were so fun. Although Annette and I noticed that some of the baked goods look store-bought, the sugar cookies they dipped in the whiskey. Definitely seen those at Salem Foods. Brownies look a little too brownie.
I think they cheated, and those are not homemade goods in reality in the Doylist perspective. We're like,
which I get.
I don't. Yeah, we're going to offer our services next time Jolene comes back and needs to bake things. We will just bake you actual homemade things. I did in between time bake Nanaimo bars because they're delicious.
That's awesome. Will you please explain to our American and elsewhere listeners what a Nanaimo bar is? Because I have mentioned that several times since I've been here in San Jose, and people are like, "No, what bars?"
Exactly. They are a standard at all like potlucks and bake sales here. They were invented in Nanaimo on Vancouver Island. And they're just basically a bar with sort of a cookie, graham crumb, little coconut, chocolate crust. And then you have a filling that is made with bird's custard. So it's yellow. And then on top of that, you have like a lovely chocolate finish. And you can
I don't think bird's custard is even a thing here.
Oh, bird's custard is a British thing that is just, you know, it's just a custard, like pudding, a specific British-y pudding.
Gotcha.
And you can buy them in most grocery stores too because they're sort of ubiquitous here.
Of course, I've still never had a Nanaimo bar.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. They are,
since Erica is gluten free, they are easy to make gluten free because I think the only glutinous thing in it is graham crumbs. We could
That's
totally
true,
do that for you.
They still have the dairy though, so there's
And they're mostly sugar.
Yeah, right. That's why I like them so much.
Yeah, like right. They're deadly. Deadly. But apparently they're Mama Earp's favorite.
Yeah, yes. She loves them.
And you know who my favorite is? Mama Earp.
She's so good. She really got to stretch her acting chops in this one all over the place. Which parts did you guys like the most?
The punch? Slap Doc, who I was like, yeah, you go, Mama Earp. And then she gets in the bar fight, and you know, the whole "this is Anna Green Gables having a drunken bar fight" thing is the best thing I've ever seen in my whole life. So good.
I would have enjoyed that scene better if I would have watched it with you guys. I feel like some of the excitement was lost sitting here.
Yeah, we were trying.
I think it was my favorite like shorty scene so far.
Wow.
Maybe even ever, because it was just so much chaotic fun. You have like Anna Green Gables jumping on some guy's back. You've got Jolene trying to hit on Nicole, and you've got Kate like kind of stirring stuff up, but also just like watching and knowing things that other people don't know. And it was just like
being
the only thing that was missing
was
Jeremy. There was no Jeremy in this episode, and I was a little sad.
Yeah,
he was
no
mentioned,
Jeremy,
but he was mentioned as somebody who loves Waverly at the end, but he was not in the episode. So I'm hoping that he will have a very damn good explanation when he gets back, young man.
Right?
He's ate a lot of baked goods that put him out for the episode. I was like, where's Jeremy? He would love baked goods.
Right? Oh, yeah, I really wanted to see him with icing on his nose.
Yeah, yes. That would have been adorable.
Yeah, I think my favorite part of the bar scene at Shorty's was before the fight started. I really liked it. Was edited very like quick. Not as quick, obviously, as the fight itself, but you know, you get these little snippets of Jolene stirring up shit, you know, telling Winona that Kate is Doc's wife, and you get the Mama Earp part where she slaps Doc, which I actually liked even better. The part before that, where she's pouring him whiskey and banana liqueur, and we don't know what else was in that shaker beforehand, definitely whiskey and banana liqueur, which sounds absolutely revolting. And
yet we need to try it.
You can try it.
Yeah,
try it. Take a photo of your face
I'll
when you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good thing for the Twitter feed. It's just a picture of your face.
And I love that Doc like half drank it and was like, oh, and then she looked at him. He was like, yeah, okay, I deserve this.
Yep. And drinks the rest. Yep. And I don't remember her exact quote for the name of it, but it's, you know, I call it the don't have a stealth wife when you're stooping my daughter, you asshole, or something to that effect. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good name. That's a very good name.
Fair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, he only recently found out he had a stealth wife.
True.
But he should have come clean a little sooner, probably.
Yeah. And maybe told
bite him in the ass.
Somebody other than just Waverly, who, and that's one of those ones where, you know, we were talking about secrets and how Jeremy hates secrets and it's not good to have them. But she has a really good explanation in this for why she didn't tell Winona. You know, it's Doc's thing to tell. And I think after everything they've been through, it makes sense for Waverly to expect that Doc will tell Winona the truth. So she was just giving him space to do that. And I mean, maybe had he not told her for a little bit longer, Waverly might have come clean and done it. But as it stands, like the timing of this was perfect for Jolene to be able to use that as one of the many needles to get under Waverly's skin.
Oh, she was so diabolical.
And
really enjoyed it, because I feel like it's a different type of villain. It's, you know, that manipulation, and she knew exactly what to say to every single person, and you're just watching it happen and you just like want to scream and yell because it's so perfect.
And speaking of, well, I keep thinking of all the Doc stuff, so we might as well just get let's take care of Doc. The scene where she's trying to convince him not to go to the Gibson greenhouse, and you know, the thing about you going to HE double hockey sticks, and Winona shouldn't have to worry about what have you offered us lately. And but at first it's so cute. He's just like, if the Earps need my pistol, I will be there. And I was like, yes you will. But she really knows what to say to get him to just back off. And he was, I think, my favorite of all of the people to watch be charmed, because, you know, you get that little sound effect, the little like sparkly sound effect when somebody takes a bite of something. And he was the one who had the best like physical, like he would just like his shoulders would slump and he would go into like an extra yeah. deep lean. And that was the best.
It was pretty great.
You know how we feel about his leans. Mm-hmm.
Love the lean.
Yep.
I think like she also, Jolene is just so, she's the voice in your head and she knows exactly what to say to you and get at your deepest, darkest fears, your insecurities, and try to drive those in between you and your people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And interestingly enough, I mean, we went on this roller coaster ride with her, and by the end, hearing her talk about how like she and Waverly are almost two sides of the same coin and they were created at the same time and mm-hmm. one is light and one is dark and she was just ignored and, you know, thrown away. It kind of made me feel a little bit sorry for her.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
Which I think is what is so great about the show, because they can do that to you. They can make you hate someone with every fiber of your being and want to smash a cupcake in her face. And then by the end, when she's getting like eaten by a tree, you're like, oh, she really didn't have a chance, did she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was literally the, I guess, the darker half of Waverly, because the universe craves balance. I mean, assuming that what she said then was true, and we don't know because she lies an awful lot, but most of what she says has a kernel of truth, even when it is a lie. So it does make sense that Waverly, apparently daughter of an angel, it came into the world, and because of that, the universe also needed to create something that was equally dark and something that crawled up out of the muck, which was a line that just like, she's what a great performance. She was almost crying. And yeah, I was totally feeling bad for her at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of muck, Bobo is back.
He's back.
Needs a haircut.
Yeah,
he does. It was quite spectacular.
A good meal.
It was great. I wanted to share this with you guys because I thought about it. I don't know if it was later on Friday night or yesterday, but remember how when Winona goes to get the gun in the first episode and we're like, how did she not see Doc mm-hmm. down in the well?
Yep.
Well, Bobo came out of this little, yeah, almost like a tunnel alcove or something.
Yeah.
So that just clicked for me. I was like, oh, that makes sense now.
Yep. He must have been mm-hmm. lying in the deep shadows, like kind of on the side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, and then he wanted to see Waverly.
Yeah,
so badly.
Waverly. But my question also was, if Waverly is Bobo's kin and Waverly is kin to an angel,
is Bobo angelic?
What
somehow?
Makes is yeah, it's like, does what was, because we know he's a revenant, he's been acting and being a revenant, but then what does that mean for Bobo? Is that why he's so different? That he has
maybe,
his own
he has
balance of good or evil or something
powers.
Going on. Yeah, so I'm like, I don't know what to do with that, and if that just intrigues me.
Or is it
when he saw? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Erica.
Or is it just that she's a partial supernatural creature, and she's not entirely mm-hmm. human? Therefore, you know, all supernatural creatures are kin of some sort, or you know, demons are maybe all descended from fallen angels. If you want to get into,
I was going to say it could be the fallen angel mm-hmm. aspect.
Yeah.
Well, and did he not say something about tidings, which is very angelic did. Thing to say?
Yes.
Yep. Totally. Yeah, so who wants to bet that stone angel in the greenhouse is somehow either her actual father turned to stone mm-hmm. or he, like the sort of, I don't know, like lightning rod that he uses to manifest himself on Earth somehow. I don't know.
Yes, and both Waverly and Mama grabbed the hand of the angel, didn't they?
Mama definitely did.
And I think the end, Waverly may have held his hand a little bit before she kind of collapsed underneath.
I was going to say, yeah, she collapsed underneath it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Interesting.
So interesting. Well, and Bobo, when he was Robert, seemed like a very religious man, very devout. Mm-hmm. And he could see Winona when she was in her little vision quest.
That's true.
Yes.
So he had some kind of connection there too.
And didn't he call her his angel?
He did, yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Well, and there's been lots around the fandom. I've seen speculation around Waverly being an angel because of her white clothing.
Oh, she does.
Often. Mm-hmm. She's almost always worn white clothing at least for this season. And the fact that everyone loves her.
Yes.
Is, and she's like that goodness. She is the belovedness. So it does seem to, and I'm sure if we rewatch these things again, we would just see more things feeding into this.
Well, and think of how long she fought off her possession.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Whereas Winona sucked at that.
She was like 5 seconds in. She's like,
David.
She blinked.
Yeah. And actually, speaking of Waverly's just goodness and pureness and love, I adore how this episode wrapped up because, you know, as you guys were talking about how Jolene was just insidious and she knew exactly the right thing to say. And yet everybody, except Doc, okay, all of the women in this story were really able to get out of it themselves. Everybody saved themselves. I mean, Nicole needed to be let out of the closet, LOL. But she sort of overcame it herself because she loves Waverly, and that was great to see. Mama and Winona get out of it themselves, actually just because they were so drunk that they pissed off Nicole enough that she didn't give them the baked goods, so they were able to sort of come out of it. But they still figured it out themselves and were able to get Randy to let them out of the cell. So I thought watching this episode the first time that they were going to come and swoop in and save Waverly because they love her, which would have been a really nice thing because yay love, yay family, yay ERP team. However, that's not what happened. Waverly saves herself because she recognizes that, like, and I love it that it was Winona that was first. Winona loves me. And then she, you know, rattles off everybody else and all of the fact that they love her and the fact that she's there loving them back. And I cried both times I watched this episode. Aww. Because that just got to me. Like, that to me is the core and the heart of what this show is and what makes it different from so many other things on television is that you have this transcendent bond at the center of it, and it's like literally transcendent because it's a freaking angel.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yes. But also Winona did call Waverly her half sister, which then goes back to what we were suspecting, was that the genetic testing could have shown that Ward wasn't her father but Michelle still was her mother.
Yeah, I think that that basically clear.
And I feel like that's clear now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because Mom Earp's the one who told her her father's name.
Yep.
When they're in the greenhouse.
And then, you know, confirmation from Bobo. So we know that he's not lying. Well, okay. He still could be lying.
He said the same name that Michelle did.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So chances are he's telling the truth. And I think it's interesting. I get the impression he wanted to tell Waverly this or something, but when he realizes that Winona is just not gonna let Waverly come and see me, I'm not gonna get my chance, he just, you know, kind of just says fuck it, I'll just tell her. So he does. Like, I want to know what more is there to that, because you got to know, like, it's Bobo, he's got to have another angle.
I really want him to have a Waverly scene. I just love those two together.
Mm-hmm. I know, but I feel like that's teasing us. And I think part of the reason why we didn't have Jeremy in this episode is because we have so many other relationships being established and going on that, you know, we got to tease out all these pairings. I mean, to me, this whole episode was a lot about getting to see not just Jolene as a villain, but seeing Mama Earp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very much the three Earps.
Yes.
And wow, Mama Earp is like, she is Winona Earp's mom so much.
Oh,
like,
oh man. That's amazing.
That scene in the jail where the children were talking. And then what it was really heartbreaking though, when Mama Earp goes, it's probably good that you did what you did. You gave up Alice. Could you just see the two of us sitting in the back of the Christmas pageant, you know, being. Yeah, again, and like being all, you know, whatever. But I felt like, oh, I feel this is how she, exactly like Winona, is just justifying that decision, which is this huge decision to protect your daughter, which both of them did.
Mm-hmm.
And like brush it off with like, oh, we would have sucked at it anyways. Mm-hmm. Like, aw, but you're showing that you're just amazing moms at the same time, you know, kind of laughing how you'd suck at it.
Yeah, that whole sarcastic streak. I loved when she offered to drink Winona's drinks for her.
Yeah.
And she had to go and sort out Doc being married.
I'm drinking for her. Oh, so even the very first scene with her when Winona is tying her up in the barn with rope, but you can also see there's a couple of close-ups.
The utility cord.
like a plug sticking out. They must be like, you know, we're going to use everything we have. If it's an extension cord, if it's rope, you know, you name it. We got to keep this lady down. But the way that she reacts and tries to get them to listen to her is very Winona-esque. Like she's, you know, she's barely able to contain her freak out, and she's just like, Waverly, don't go. And she's screaming and isn't able to get to the settled down point where she's able to sort of talk at a normal pace and a normal volume. And without real effort. And when it's just her and Winona, who I think, you know, are speaking on a similar level, and then she's able to convince her, because, or at least mostly convince her, because she's, I get the connection there, and there's certainly a connection with Waverly as well. But it's like it's really cool. It's like if you take this kind of personality and you mix it with a literal angel, then you get Waverly. Because Waverly, like even in the bar fight, you know, she was also getting in on the action and, you know, throwing things and stuff.
Oh yeah. She can hold her own. Wasn't it the pilot where she literally like shoots off a shotgun in her own bedroom?
Yep. Right through the drywall.
Like there's no question that she's...
Yeah, she is still
her sister.
Or a Gibson, perhaps we should be saying.
Yeah, she's still
a
Gibson. True.
It seems like the Gibsons are every bit as wild as the Earps, if not more so, based on the evidence that we have now with Mama. Because, yeah, she was just great.
Yeah, I don't you get the feeling this was not Michelle's first bar fight.
Right. No.
I also like when she roped the Revenant security guard, and she was like, in second in roping, first in barrel racing. It was like, oh, rodeo.
Yep. She knows her stuff and she uses it.
Yeah.
To her advantage. Oh, that was actually that scene was another great moment in acting, because when she briefly thinks that they did it, that, you know, by killing this tongueless Revenant who was, you know, that's a smart plan, Jolene. I tip my hat to you for that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's just like, she literally falls down to her knees and is almost crying because she didn't think she was going to live to see the victory that she thinks that she's seeing there.
Yeah.
And she's just overcome. And then, of course, that's not the case, and Waverly wanders out. And I didn't realize till the second time I watched it that Waverly wanders out, and Jolene's trapped in the circle outside. Like I didn't get that. So that's why she taunted Waverly so much to get her to hit her, because she couldn't leave the circle by herself. She needed Waverly to physically push her out of the circle. So that's the only reason I think she revealed herself to Waverly that much at that point, was because she needed to get away.
Yeah.
She's a sneaky one.
She is.
Yep.
Yeah.
I want baked goods now. Like
I really want like a lemon scone.
There was speaking of Canadian baked goods, I also saw butter tarts, which is not that
one. Are they
not a thing there?
Yeah.
So it was because I watched it with the subtitles on, and when both Winona and Mama Earp are in the jail and they like scream and Nedley, put down that tart, Randy.
I loved Nedley's response to like Jolene. She's like, we grew up with her, and he's like, who's your family? What's your last name? No. He's like asking all these very relevant natural cop questions and like small town questions. Mm-hmm.
And they have no answers. And it was she must have had some sort of an aura about her a little bit, because even before people ate any of the baked goods, they were kind of, you know, like Doc comes into the kitchen and he's like, I you know, just sort of looking at her weird and like, I beg your pardon. And it's not, you know, that I made your favorite snickerdoodle. And, oh my God, Tim Rozon staying snickerdoodle as Doc is my favorite thing ever, I think.
I love it. Yeah, the snickerdoodles were great. I feel like they were giant, though, and I was telling this to Annette when we were watching the episode, because I make snickerdoodles, but I make them quite small, and I feel like it's an American thing to make them so huge. So, Tim Rosen, if you'd like a moderately sized snickerdoodle, I'm your girl.
Yeah, I feel like normal-sized snickerdoodles are smaller than what I usually picture as a chocolate chip cookie. Like,
yes.
Yeah, because
Go ahead, Annette.
Go ahead. Oh, it's just like they don't spread the same as like a chocolate chip cookie, I feel.
No, they don't.
I think that the cookie that he pulled out of his pocket later when he was giving the napkin to Waverly, so that she could like wipe her tears and stuff. I don't think that was a snickerdoodle. I mean, maybe it was supposed to be in story, but that looked like a sugar cookie to me, a store-bought sugar cookie at that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are breaking down the baked goods in this episode of Herb
Jerk. You're going to throw that many cupcakes at me. I'm going to say something about it.
Kirsten and I have spent a lot of time investing in our baking skills. So we're going to notice if you try and pass off homemade meringues, and the meringues were a little too perfect too, and pies and everything. It's like, I think they're cheating.
Yeah. Either that or they just had.
But, like, you know, understandably, we get it. You don't have time to like homemade bake a whole bunch of stuff. But
or maybe it was just.
But we're still
craft services did that, but they craft services is just too damn good at their job, so they needed to.
Yeah, you gotta have some imperfections.
Yep, you don't want those cookies to look perfectly round and perfectly sort of like spread and flat, because that's gonna look like you bought it at Save On Foods or Safeway,
absolutely,
or Superstore. You know, just I'm just listing the Canadian grocery stores that I frequent. Yep. All right. Anything else that you guys want to cover about this episode? It was so much fun. I am glad I got the opportunity to watch it a second time, because I feel like it just so much happened that watching it a second time it really paid off in terms of not only noticing things, but just sheer enjoyment.
I think I'd like to watch the last two again, because they were both of them really fast paced episodes with a lot of stuff happening. And so I feel like I'd like to go back and watch them both again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I'm excited because we have some more behind on our behind the scenes. So we've got some treats coming up.
It might answer all our baking related questions.
It might. And I wondered if, and I could be wrong, but I mentioned it to Annette. I was wondering if the security guard from the mental institution is the show's stunt coordinator.
Oh, he looked familiar. Yeah.
Right? And I didn't notice it the first episode he appeared in when Winona cut off his head. But when he showed up in the car in Jolene, I was like, oh, I feel like I recognize him. So maybe they'll talk about that.
That's a good call. Yeah, it was delightful to watch everything happen so fast. But I think seeing it again would be a good thing. And I had something else I was going to say, and it totally just flew out of my head.
Oh, I just want to say Kate was so suave and cool and doing her own level of manipulation. Mm-hmm. That was pretty impressive, but more, I want to say human, but she's not human. She's a vampire. But
they kept mentioning the vampire in the bar, and I was like, who's that? I was like, oh, that's Kate.
Yes, and the moment the very short showdown you get between her and Winona, where she's just like, you know, I'm a vampire, I'm hundreds of centuries old, and I've been searching for him everywhere, and I do not give up. And Winona's reaction was perfect. She was just like, have you met me? Or blah. Have you met me? It's just like, yep, that is the perfect comeback.
Yeah. Well, and what are you going to say, right? Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. But also, her dress was. Her wardrobe just has been so on point, but also so utterly the opposite of what Winona would ever wear. Like, could not put Winona in that sort of like gorgeous, classy, beautiful outfit.
I don't know that classy is the word that I would use, because
it's a little overly bright to be
dressing
classy.
I think she was purposely dressing up as a fortune teller, because that's exactly what she was doing. Yeah. She was reading tarot cards. So she had this sort of, sort of classic bright colors in, silky satin fabric that you think of when you think of a classic fortune teller.
And then her sneaky, like, making Jolene touch the tarot cards. So funny.
And she winks. She winks when she slaps. Like, it was, I was trying to think about, like, choreographing that myself to be able to do all of those motions in the same. And I was just like, nope, I couldn't do it. Props to you. Yeah. Like, that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then just the one card, fealty, which ends up being so relevant.
Right. Yeah. So she screamed Bolshar's name just before she got taken by the tree.
Yeah. So is that tree an agent of Bolshar? Is it Bolshar? What is up with the trees?
Also,
what is up with the trees?
Yeah, the trees they got some problems.
I think I said
this
to Kirsten on Friday, but if it's like, so Bolshar could just like go and swallow them up at any second. He has that power with his trees.
Yep.
What is he waiting for? Yeah. What is his plan and what's going on? Because I feel like there has to be a reason why he's just sitting back and watching things play out, because we have hardly seen anything.
Mm-hmm. Is he just toying?
Also, holy shit, I just remembered how it ended with Doc in that little circle saying they have an accord.
What does that mean?
That is so, like, because we were wondering after the last episode, like, what did Doc make some sort of a deal? What was going on? And when he's in that circle and he starts talking, I'm like, oh no, he did make a deal, especially because he says we have an accord. And then it all sort of turns on its ear and he's like, you know, he's basically all in for the ERPs. I will continue to fight for them. I am, you know, and I will do anything to save them, even this. And then he puts on Bolshar's ring and says, you know, I do not fear the void. And this is a great scene too, because you have him turning around with the camera staying mostly stationary. So it must've been ADR because his voice doesn't like really change, but it was really well lined up because I couldn't tell visually. And he's saying, you know, I do not fear the void. I spit into the void. I may be going to hell, but I'm going to drag you there with me. And as he walks out of the circle, he flips off Bolshar behind his head.
That was so great. But also the fact that the ring just showed up again.
Yeah.
With, back in Waverly's room? So
with Nicole.
Because Nicole found it, right?
Who's doing that?
And it burnt Jolene.
Bolshar won his ring back. So who's bringing the ring back if it's not Bolshar, or does he want them to have the ring?
Julian.
What? I know. So many questions.
There are so many questions. Speaking of questions, I just remembered, okay, I was thinking like, where's Jeremy? And I was like, oh, maybe he's off with Robin. No, wait a minute. The last time we saw Robin, he was getting dragged.
And he's going to be a vampire.
So yeah, so
and
what
the
is,
tree got him.
Maybe Jeremy's just out looking for Robin, and that's where, because like their chemistry was so excellent.
He's in the hospital and Robin's in the hospital being taken care of. And Jeremy's keeping him company.
That would be nice. Speaking of same-sex couples, I remembered the thing I wanted to say. I really liked the scene at the end with Waverly and Nicole in the bedroom, like on the floor at the foot of Waverly's bed, and how we get to see that they are making up, and that these words, you know, that they were sort of forced to say because of the evil baked goods had not come between them, and they were joking about it and moving beyond it. But I was super impressed with like the framing and the blocking and the staging of that shot.
Yeah. With all the balloons and the flowers.
Yes. And the fact that they are just like entwined. We've seen them in bed together with like blankets and stuff, and we've seen them make out and, you know, have like sexy scenes. But this was, I just felt like this was the most intimate that we have ever seen them. Like, you know, Nicole is cradling Waverly, and it was just an unabashed, there's flesh everywhere, but not in a, you know, a tantalizing sort of titillating way. It was just intimate and sweet, and they were kissing. And I feel like that's possibly one of the best lesbian representational things that I've ever seen on TV. It was just the way that scene was framed. It was wonderful, and it just felt natural and pure and normal, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was all glowy.
I think it shows the degree of intimacy and the growth of the relationship in terms of being, it's not just about sex. It is about intimacy and trust and love in a way that like they get to be the couple of the show, really. I think you've got Wynonna with all her and Doc and Kate and all this stuff going on. That's sort of part of the plot, but they sort of become the heart, I think, of the show. And it just, all we just keep seeing that, I think, grow, really.
I love it. I love it so much. All right. Well, any last things? Like, this has been a long one. It's different when you're not in the same room with people.
We didn't have any time to pre-discuss anything either. Not that we do. We're not supposed to talk about it until we talk about it on the podcast.
Save it for the podcast. That's the refrain. All right. Well, I look forward to seeing you guys for the next episode in person and watching the Inside Wynonna Earp for the Incomparable members and getting to see what the heck is going to happen next. That is the most exciting thing. So,
break a leg tonight, you and Steven.
Thank you.
We know you guys are going to look so smoking because we've seen previews of your outfits.
This is true.
Thanks. I'm pretty excited.
We're cheering for you, and I'm sure all of our listeners are cheering for you guys.
Aw, thanks, Herbers. We love you. All right. Well, until next time, lights out, bitch.